This is the Premier League Preview Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @Premier_podcast. Find us on Facebook under Premier League Preview Podcast or online at plpreview.com.
Hello, you're very welcome to the Premier League Preview Podcast. I'm Sean Fitzmaurice, joined as always by Mr. O'Maloney.
Hello there.
You can get us, as always, on Twitter, @Premier_podcast. Get us on Facebook, Premier League Preview Podcast, or on our website, plpreview.com. Visit us there and become a patron if you like listening to our podcast. You can do so for as little as €1 a month. You wouldn't even buy us a coffee for €1 a month, but we'll take it.
We've no shame in begging. No matter how small, we'll take it.
We're here to do the podcast. We're sitting less than 2 meters apart, so there's a good chance we could give each other coronavirus and you'll never hear from us again. But even if we're in isolation, I suppose we can do podcasts.
Yeah, exactly.
It probably would be the ideal thing. We could do
a podcast a day.
a podcast a day in isolation. I suppose before we get into this week's fixtures, we have to talk about Liverpool. They seem to be creaking at the seams a little bit. Lost 3 of their last 4 games in all competitions. Could very well have lost 4 out of 4 because that West Ham game, they got a bit lucky. Mm. It does seem that the winter break has kind of halted their momentum somewhat. And if you remember back to last season when Liverpool were flying, they had an 11-game break because of cup fixtures, and that's when they hit their dip, and it seems to be a repeat of that happening this year.
It does kind of. I think more than the winter break issue, I think it's more of a missing Jordan Henderson issue. And Gary Lineker put up a tweet, and I completely agreed with him. He said the 3-week injury break Jordan Henderson has endured may be the defining factor in him getting the PFA Player of the Year nomination, because it just goes to show how important a cog in that wheel he is.
It has highlighted it. And even me as a Liverpool fan didn't realise how much we'd miss him until he wasn't there for those last few games.
Yeah, 100%. And there was always this narrative that Jordan Henderson was no good for years and years. No good, no good. And then slowly but surely that narrative started slipping away because it just became so obvious that he was good.
Yeah.
And in the last few years, the narrative has been he's not very good. He's not very good. And then that narrative started slipping away because it realised he is very good.
Yeah.
And now here we are. Liverpool have endured their first Premier League loss. Look like they're going to face a fairly tough battle now to progress in the Champions League. Knocked out of the FA Cup. And John Henderson is sitting on from the sidelines with gritted teeth, and you're knowing that he could make a difference if he was on the field. And I think a few years ago, not as much of the general public would have believed us if we were to say that.
Yeah. Well, we'll get on to Liverpool later and their fixture at the weekend, which they'll be hoping to make amends on. But I suppose we really have to start this week with the fixture of the week, which is the Manchester Derby.
Massive game, isn't it?
It's huge. It's Manchester United, I know we've poo-pooed all over them all season because their form hasn't been great. But you have to say, since the turn of the year, and specifically since the purchase of Bruno Fernandes, they have looked a different side and they have been impressive in a few games.
They have now, to be fair. They're not lighting the world on fire, but they're getting results more consistently now. And the losses, the stupid, silly losses, like in the earlier part of the season to the likes of Bournemouth, stuff like that they were just dire for 90 minutes. That's not been seen as much. They seem to have steadied that ship. Now, they're 3 points off Chelsea, and who knows, fifth, we're all kind of speculating now, will be good enough for a Champions League spot due to Man City's ban.
Mm-hmm.
That they're sitting there already. So they have to fancy their chances now with 10 games left in the Premier League season that they can grab a Champions League position, whether it be by just surpassing Chelsea, which could happen.
Yeah.
Or just by default because of Man City. But either way, like, their fortunes have seriously turned up in the last month or two.
Speaking of Manchester City and their ban, kind of conversely to United, 2 weeks ago when all the ban news broke, we sat here in the podcast and said it's going to go either one of two ways. Either City players are going to somewhat down tools because they'll think, what's the point anyway? Or else they're going to use this as extra motivation just to steamroll our teams, and it seems to be the latter. That's what they've done since this ban has been announced. We've seen now it is coinciding with Laporte coming back, and Fernandinho being able to be used more freely around the park. I know he's been playing in defence, but he's also been used in midfield where he is better. And Laporte, let's face it, he's up there with Van Dijk,
he's very good.
And it's been shown this season when he hasn't been in the team, how good he actually is. So there's probably a little bit of City using the ban as motivation, but also Laporte coming back, and City do look like that terrifying side that went on such an incredible run last season.
They do a bit, but no, he did sustain an injury at the weekend, so it remains to be seen if it's serious or not. Again, if it is, that's utterly disastrous.
Yeah,
because he's only just back, and if he was to go out long term again, you'd struggle maybe to see him come back and hit the heights that he was before the injury.
Yeah, it is a kind of a thing though when players have, when they're out for a long period, 3 or 4 months or longer, then when they do come back, they do get little knocks or little niggles, and it's just something like that.
Exactly, yeah. So that's what we're hoping, but if they can get him back soon, they are a pretty much different team, I think. They're not as, like we saw with United and City in the Etihad when United beat City. City were just porous at the back. They couldn't contain Man United's speed, and United for large parts of that game, and especially in the first half, looked completely dominant and looked like they'd nearly score at will. But that just isn't there when Laporte is there. They're a different defence when he's there.
There's a lot of Manchester derbies in recent seasons where beforehand you just say, this is City, it's a City win, it's a given. Because United in recent seasons haven't been the United of the past, and City have just been incredible. But I don't think this fixture is as clear cut. I think City are still an incredible side and they can steamroller anybody. But I think United's record at Old Trafford in particular this season, I think they've only lost 2 games at Old Trafford all season. And their resurgence in form. And I think
they've played City 3 times this year and won twice.
Yeah.
They won twice
at the Etihad.
Yeah, you're right, actually. Yeah.
Twice.
And City beat them in Old Trafford in the first leg of the Carabao Cup semi-final. Yeah. So, that's a weird one. That's a weird stat in itself. But still, you look at it, when you get down to brass tacks, United have put two W's over City this year, and they fancy their chances of making it a third one.
And also, before the Watford game, obviously, they were the only side to take points off Liverpool, and that was at Old Trafford. So, At Old Trafford, they are a force to be reckoned with, no matter what people want to say about them this season. And as much as I'm changing my colours completely here. As much as I've talked about in the first half of the season how I thought Ollie wasn't the man for the job, it really appears at this stage that the players have rowed in behind him, and he has the backing of the players and the backing of the club. And there is a cohesion starting to appear within the team that wasn't there before.
I completely agree. And I'm just looking here at the stats, and we were kind of, you could dog United even up to maybe a month ago that their goal scoring difference was just pathetic, like for a team of Man United stature. But now they have the fourth best goal scoring difference in the league. Now that doesn't say too much for the league this year, because Chelsea, who are sitting in fourth at the minute, only have a goal scoring difference of +8. That's awful. United do have a goal scoring difference of +12. I think they have shown they've steadied the ship a bit. They're not as wildly unpredictable as they once were. They seem to be, as you said, have come together more and more cohesion. And I just fancy them here. I just fancy them on Sunday for some. I just think they might pull it off.
Yeah.
City are safe. City know they're not going to win the league. City know they're going to be in the Champions League. So, well, they know they're going to qualify for the Champions League within the spots. Unless their appeal is overturned, they know what they are at this stage. I just feel United will have more of the bit between their teeth to get something. So that's kind of my thinking. Yeah. I think they have more to play for and more to lose.
I agree with you in a lot of respects, but I also look at City will know that United have beaten them twice already this season. And they don't want to be beaten a third time by United.
I suppose, yeah, you couldn't easily overlook the fact that this is a very bitter derby. Like, excuse me, form can go out the window in those, you know, it can be just an absolute dogfight as well. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
I think we could be looking at this game is going to go one of two ways. It's going to be a scintillating display of football, or else it's going to be just a dire, hard to watch, nil all, hard fought derby. Because I think United, the way they will approach this game is the way they approach every game against City, is they will defend and wait for their moments to counterattack. And if they don't get those moments, then you could end up in a game that's just difficult watching.
I see your point, right? I don't know. I think United will just sneak it. I think they might win 2-1. I have a funny feeling that their speed again, if Laporte isn't back, which I'm not sure, but I don't think he will be. If Laporte isn't back, just fancy United to play a very similar game plan maybe to the one they employed when they beat City at the Etihad.
Yeah.
And I could just maybe see that happening again. So to me, United to just sneak it. Through gritted teeth, I say that.
I'm going to go with City just because I think they will... The drive of not wanting to be beaten a third time by their bitter rivals in one season will drive them to win it, if it's not a draw.
I could see that. I can see it turn into an absolute, as you said, like a dogfight and just really a bitter rivalry. And it could develop into that, but if it does, who knows what will happen. It'll be who gets less men sent off probably wins.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just if it doesn't develop into that, I just fancy Man United might nick it.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's leave that one there. The rest of the fixtures this weekend are, to be honest, they leave a lot to be desired. There's no real standout fixtures like the Manchester Derby. So what we'll do is we'll just literally, I have a printout of the list of fixtures here. We'll just take them from the top and we'll go through each one.
Yeah, I think you're right in the sense that there's a lot of fixtures there, like Southampton, Newcastle, nothing to play for really. Both are safe at this stage.
Yeah, yeah.
Both are going nowhere really. So yeah, there's a lot of fixtures like that.
Exactly. There's Chelsea, Everton, Wolves, Brighton. You know, there's stuff to play for in some of those games, but they're not...
edgier seat stuff.
They're not edgier seat, no. Queuing for tickets type games. Let's start with the 12:30 quick kickoff on Saturday, which probably has become a massive game for Liverpool just in because of their recent record. They've got welcoming Burnley to Anfield.
Bournemouth,
sorry.
You're grand. Yeah. But it'd be definitely a bigger game for Bournemouth because they now have dropped into the relegation zone again.
Yeah.
Things are real now and fans are starting to sweat. Things are really getting dangerous. And Anfield, I suppose, Liverpool might have the look of a wounded animal about them.
Yeah.
So you don't want to be going to Anfield to face a wounded animal that are as big and as powerful as Liverpool. So I think Bournemouth are coming into this fixture in the worst possible time. And I think they might just suffer the backlash because players like Mane, Salah, they don't like losing. They hate losing.
And those particular Liverpool players you're mentioning have been as poor as we've ever seen them in the last few games.
Exactly, yeah. Now, in fairness to Mane, he's created a few chances. He just hasn't been scoring.
Yeah.
But I think he hasn't been as bad as some of the rest of them.
Yeah.
But yes, Salah, I would agree with you, he's been missing for a lot of games this season.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to be looking to right that wrong. I just have a bad feeling for Bournemouth. And if anyone that listens to this regularly, God help you if you do. But if you do listen to this regularly, you know I love Bournemouth. I want them to stay up. I love Eddie Howe, what he's done with that club. The fact that they've punched above their weight with such a small stadium. Their financial deficits compared to other clubs must be ridiculous because they just can't get the bums on seats that most clubs get every week. And they've done an incredible job. You just hate to see it end now. I'd be sickened if it did. But I just feel like they could be walking into the Lions' Den this Saturday morning, and I think that they might get a bit of a walloping.
Yeah, I think Bournemouth are going to get beaten by Liverpool at Anfield. Liverpool, however bad they are, they don't lose at Anfield, and they generally win at Anfield. But
it's the only record they've left to throw away now this season is the unbeaten run at home. So look,
yeah, but I don't see it happening against Bournemouth. But I do think Bournemouth. They can probably take solace in the fact that the other two teams in the bottom three, Villa and Norwich, Villa are playing Leicester this weekend. So they're away at the King Power. So you would imagine Villa will probably lose that game. And Norwich are probably so far adrift now that it doesn't really matter who they're playing. So all being told, those three teams are probably going to lose. So Bournemouth will be exactly where they were before the weekend started.
Unless they may lose ground to Watford, but Brighton could easily pick up no points. They're aiming at West Ham, Brighton and Watford, and we'll get to West Ham in a while, but I think they'll be looking to try and pick up either a Brighton or a Watford, and as you said, we'll get to their games, but you wouldn't have much hope for either of them, I'd say, this week.
Maybe Watford. I think Watford would probably...
Against Palace, it's hard to know.
Palace, yeah.
That, again, we've said it about Palace. Like, they're so horrible to watch. Like, it's just painful.
Well, and listen,
they snuck another 1-0 against Brighton last weekend. They just keep grinding out results.
We have sat here and well, not necessarily us in particular, but pundits and journalists this year have lauded Liverpool as the best team in the world at the moment, and Watford made them look like mouse last weekend. Mm-hmm. So,
I think that's the exception that proves the rule.
More than
something you can read into. But I take your point. You need to have balls to go and do that.
Yeah,
and they did it, and they have them. So that's exactly fair. Kudos to them.
Well, let's move on. We're both going for Liverpool.
Oh, yeah, Liverpool handy. Yeah.
Wolves, I love Wolves, and I love Nuno. I absolutely love them. I love what they've done this season. I love Nuno Espirito Santo and what he's been able to do with that team. I love his interviews because he's just like the calmest man on the planet. He's like, you nearly slip into meditation listening to him. And I love the way they play, and I really, really hope they're in the Champions League next season, because they deserve to be. Out of all those teams that are fighting between fifth and ninth, Wolves are the team, I think, that have been consistently good this season. Now, the results haven't always gone their way, because they don't have the best squad in the Premier League. But for what they have been consistent week in, week out. All the other teams in around them have been up and down, win and lose, and this, that, and the other. And I think Wolves are the one that I think, if I was to pick a team that deserves a Champions League spot, I think Wolves are the one team in the Premier League that deserve that.
I'd love it. I'd absolutely love it. And looking at it, only Liverpool have lost less games than Wolves. Yep. They've lost six games. Now, obviously, City and Arsenal have lost six games as well. But still, to be up there with those clubs, and like, it's losing games, even if games aren't going with you, and you're still getting a point from them. It's things like that, avoiding taking away no points from tough fixtures.
The amount of
that
games,
adds up at the end of the season. Like,
the amount of games Wolves have rescued in the 90-odd minute this season just shows the character of that side.
Yeah.
You know?
I completely, wholeheartedly agree with literally everything you said there about Wolves. I want them to be the club that gets the fifth spot or the fourth spot, whatever way it may be. You'd be withered from talking about permutations of what the hell is going to happen with City. But when the chips fall where they may, I just do hope that Wolves are there. And with relation to this fixture this weekend, home to Brighton. Brighton concede plenty of goals. Wolves have a gilt-edged opportunity to put another valuable 3 points on their tally.
Brighton have a habit of making a liar out of me, though. Like, every time I write Brighton off and say that they're going to lose a game or they're going to tumble into relegation, then they win that weekend. Every single time I say it.
I think you get maximum effort from Brighton, but you know their limitations.
Yeah.
And sometimes that effort is good enough, sometimes it isn't. And they're fully deserving of being just where they are. They're just not at the level of fuck up of Villa.
Yeah.
But they're above that, and it could end up with 10 games to go where they are brought into that. Now, they're only what? They're only a point, actually, sorry, above Bournemouth, but they're sitting 15th on the table. That could change, excuse me, very quickly. And when you look at their form, I don't think they have a win in six.
Yeah.
That's, that looked, when you're trending like that, you're only going one way. And them going to Wolves now, in the hunt for Champions League.
In fairness, they've drawn three out of their last five. So it's not like they're going out and getting hammered every weekend. They're hanging in there in certain games.
Yeah, but look, if the likes of a West Ham, or look at Watford beating Liverpool, that's three draws. That's one win. That's one game, and they've accumulated as much points as Brighton have in their last six games.
Yeah,
that's true. It adds up. Wins are what save you. It's big wins that turn around your season are what save you. And I don't see a big win coming for Brighton against Wolves. Now, as you say, they do have a habit of making a liar out of people. They will give maximum effort, but there's too many industrious players and maybe not enough proper top quality players. And that's why I'd fear for Wolves. Well, I pick Wolves.
I'm certainly going to go for a Wolves win on this one as well.
I agree with you here.
Let's have a look at the London Derby. Arsenal versus West Ham.
Now, if this isn't going to be a roller coaster, I don't know what fucking will.
I think we could have 10 goals in this game.
You could have none. You just don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
I've given up predicting Arsenal, to be honest. You just can't.
Yeah, and West Ham are just as bad. West Ham, in fairness to them, they actually went and won a game of football this weekend. Mm. This weekend just gone. They beat Southampton 3-1. Yeah.
Went 1-0 down as well, didn't they? I think
they did. Yeah. Previous to that, they couldn't buy a win. They got badly hammered by City. In fairness, Liverpool probably shouldn't have beat them, but they let a 2-0 lead slip against Liverpool.
Yeah.
prior to that Liverpool game, I think they were getting beaten by a handful of goals in every single game. Maybe the Liverpool loss or the playing well against Liverpool and then the win against Southampton is a sign of them turning the corner, which I'm not the greatest fan of David Moyes and I'm not the greatest fan of what's happening at West Ham, but it would be nice to see a really competitive London derby between West Ham and Arsenal.
I actually think David Moyes has done okay. I know the results aren't exactly sparkling since he's gone in. But
well, he's in 16th place in the Premier League. I wouldn't call that doing okay.
No, but they've gone up since they were in 18th. Yeah. When you think about it, they were in the relegation zone. Now they're level on points with.
But I don't think they were in the relegation zone when he took over.
I think they were. Yeah, I think they were 18th. They were 19th at one stage.
Yeah, with him as manager, because he lost his first few games. But I think they were in around where they are now when Pellegrini left. I'll have to double check that.
Yeah, I do. But
answers on a postcard.
But look, I think the damning statistic here is 15 losses this season.
Yeah.
And as you said, they let points slip there against Liverpool. That would have been like hen's teeth. No one was taking points off Liverpool all season. And as we said, I know Liverpool's form has dipped. But at the same time, that was a glorious opportunity for them. And not only would it have been massive points-wise, it would have been massive momentum-wise, confidence-wise,
yeah,
everything-wise, and they just pissed it down the toilet and would have taken their eye off the ball in the later parts of the game. And there's no other excuse for that. Liverpool are good, but they're not that good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
certainly not since the winter break.
No, anyway. And it's down to West Ham that happened. And that's my 100% belief. But
Arsenal are still so unpredictable that West Ham could go to the Emirates and take points.
Yeah, Arsenal are scoring plenty, all right, but I don't know. This one is very, very, very... This is topsy-turvy, horrible game to call, I think. Arsenal have nothing to play for now. They're not going to make Champions League. And I don't care. They might only be 5 points off United. They're not making Champions League. I know they've won their last two. they'll go and they'll throw in an absolute horrific performance somewhere, like against the West Ham in the next few games, mark my words, and it will be run of momentum, bang, horrible thing to drag them back down to earth. Run of momentum, bang, drag them back down to earth. It's been that way all season, and even though they've got a run of form under Arteta now and they seem to be buying into him and there seems to be a bit of a buzz around the squad, I'm not buying it as a long term thing. I just don't see him getting Champions League. I think they'll be Europa League again unless they win the Europa League this year.
Well, no matter what you think of...
Oh no, sorry, they're knocked out of the Europa League. Whenever, what am I on about?
Yeah, they went out in fairly embarrassing fashion to Besiktas, wasn't it?
Olympiakos,
yeah.
Losing my mind.
Yeah. No matter what you think of David Moyes or West Ham, whether you love them or hate them, there's no getting away from the fact that West Ham defence is horrific.
Awful, yeah. Very bad. Now, your man right back, the young lad that played against Liverpool, he's only ever played two Premier League games and they're both against Liverpool, and he had an absolute cracker of a game. And I cannot think for life of me his name right now. It's evading me, but he's only 19 years of age. He's an absolute unit. He looks like they have a player there, but other than that, their defence has been leaky. Yeah. Just like when you look at their figures, conceded 49 goals this season.
The young lad they bought in January as well, Bowen, he had a...
Jared Bowen from Hull, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He had a couple of nice touches against Liverpool, but they still have a horrific back four. It doesn't change their back four. Mm. And when you're facing against Aubameyang, Lacazette, and not so much Pepe, but Pepe as well, you need a solid back four.
You do.
Or at least a semi-solid one. And West Ham just don't have it. And I think there's goals at both ends of this game. I really do. And I think it's going to be like... I think Arsenal are going to win 3-2. That sort of game.
I think Arsenal will probably sneak it, but having a clue what way this game will go, high up or low down, to be honest. I just think you'd have to fancy Arsenal class-wise, but who knows what will happen in this game.
Right, nail your colours to a mast and pick a team.
Arsenal.
Right. Let's move on to... Southampton versus Newcastle. Listen, Southampton are great. I know they lost to West Ham at the weekend, but they have been good. They're back up to 13th. They were in the relegation places. They were having a horrific start to the season. Hasenhüttl has turned around. Danny Ings is a goal machine. Shane Long is a centre forward extraordinaire.
A sex machine is what Shane Long is.
And Southampton are going to be okay.
Ah, they're okay. They're safe now. I think it's just a pity that Newcastle's kind of bombing didn't start earlier in the season. More of a chance of seeing them go down. Yeah. I don't know that sounds bitter, but I just can't get behind that club high up or low down. There's a lot more clubs underneath them in the league that I'd prefer to see.
There are days when you watch Newcastle and you think, Jesus, no, they're all right. Like in the FA Cup.
Maximan and Almiron are two hopes really up front.
But you just don't see it enough from them. That's the problem.
Maximan won't be there long. He's too good to last at Newcastle.
Is he though?
Yeah. I'm telling you, he is. He's very, very good. He's going to be snapped up by a big club soon.
But he needs to sort out his end product. He can't just be running headless into defenders.
I don't know. He's very good.
He's just one of these players. It's like Adama Traore before he sorted this game out, where he's brilliant on the ball. He's got bags of pace and he's got bags of tricks, but he just doesn't know when to release the ball or lay it off.
Well, in fairness to Maximan, I think it could be a case of
San Maximan.
Whatever. I'm just going to call him Max because that's what I've been calling him for ages. But he gave a brilliant ball to Almiron there during the FA Cup game. He played him in, and I think he does hold on to the ball too much. He can often take too much out of it, but I think it's because no one's doing anything around him. I think if he plays with a more intelligent, a better quality football club, I think he will be very good.
I will say, at times, he's up there on his own.
Oh, 100%. He's flying alone.
When they're playing against a perceived better side, he's left up there to do it on his own, and he's got no choice but to run into corners with the ball. So I will give him that. In saying that, I do think that they are not good enough to beat Southampton at St. Mary's.
I'm going to call this as a draw because it's just miserable. It'll probably be nil all. I can see.
No, Southampton are going to win this by a couple of goals.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
I'm going nil all.
Yeah. Let's go for the adopted Irish side, Sheffield United,
on,
against Norwich City.
Yeah, David McGoldrick scored in the FA Cup. The pigs can fly.
He couldn't buy a goal in the Premier League.
Oh, poor whore. Hopefully he can pick up form now. But if he's ever going to score, he's going to score this weekend, isn't he?
I think Norwich are a dangerous animal now. And that's what Leicester City found out. A team that knows they're so far adrift that they don't have to worry because they're probably going to get relegated anyway. But a team that can play as well as Norwich on their day, with that.
I see your point, but I also see your point. Look, if they happen to go and beat Sheffield United this weekend, probably only 3 points from safety, maybe four max. Now, with nine games to go after that, it's anyone's guess.
Yeah.
But I still don't fancy it because it's pure, simple. They've conceded 51 goals and scored 25, and you can concede twice the amount you score, you're going to lose most of your games. And that's what's going to happen, I reckon. Here at Sheffield United, especially at home, very hard to break down, very organised, can hit you on the counter, well able to play football. They're just a better side.
Yeah.
And that's why I'd fancy them to beat Norwich. But you are right, at times Norwich are very flashy, can play the ball out from the back brilliantly, can beat the press very cleverly, as they showed against City. Cantwell is very high quality, but he'll be gone soon. But that's about it, really. Pukki is hot and cold. He kind of goes on streaks. They just don't have enough. They just don't have enough. Now they could fluke one. They could fluke a result, and they still have got 21 points. Sorry, which isn't absolutely atrociously bad. Mm. It's not great, obviously, but it's not terrible. And you never know, they could fluke it, but I just don't see it. I think Sheffield United are too tough, and especially at home, and I just fancy Sheffield United.
I agree, 100% Sheffield United. Let's move on to Crystal Palace Watford.
Palace, the most frustrating team on earth.
The one point I want to make about this, it's kind of harks back to Liverpool a little bit. The three games that Liverpool have lost in the last four have had one thing in common: the Atletico game, the Watford game, and the Chelsea game. Those three teams bullied Liverpool physically.
Yeah.
Kicked them off the park, and Liverpool didn't handle it at all. And Watford were probably the best at that out of all three. Like, they physically got in Liverpool's face. Troy Deeney just gave Lovren a nightmare, and all over the park. But transposing that on this game, I know Crystal Palace have their limitations, but if you go and try and kick them, they'll kick you harder.
They're very physical. This will be a physical game, for sure. Because Watford were definitely in Liverpool's face and won that battle. They turned it into a war, and they won the war.
Exactly,
Palace, won't fold as easily. That is for damn sure. They're a very physical unit all throughout their team, their back four, throughout their spine, through midfield, and even up front. They have big target men, old school strikers, so to speak. So this is a real war of attrition. This is going to be how it goes. Take your guess. I'd say pick a ticket and just wait, get your number and just see what happens, because I think
in terms of quality on paper, Watford have more. There's no doubt about that.
I agree.
But there's been a lot of teams that have had more quality than Crystal Palace that have gone to Selhurst Park this season and left with nothing. There's a lot of teams that have welcomed Palace to their ground and got nothing. Palace Palace and Roy Hodgson, they just know how to get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no team in the world that's happier with 1 point than Crystal Palace.
Yeah, they're safe now. Look, things were getting hairy until they won their last two games, and that has changed the complexion from being humming and hawing there around 14th to being, no, we're in 12th now. Might not have jumped up today that much, but we're six points.
I mean, with, good, with 36 points, they're
more or less
they're safe.
One win will do them, and that's...
I think in the last handful of seasons in the Premier League, 36 points would have seen you safe. So you can pretty much guarantee they're safe. Maybe they'll take their foot off the gas a little bit now, knowing that they're safe. Usually that happens more around the 40 points.
Yeah, so I was just going to say 40 tends to be the mathematical one that you are safe.
Yeah.
Because
but I do think on paper Watford should win this game. And to be honest, I like Watford and I'd like them to win this game, but it's not going to be easy.
I see a draw here again.
Do you?
I see a draw. I see a nil all draw too.
Mm. I suppose a draw would probably, given who Bournemouth and Villa are playing this weekend, a draw would probably be a great result for Watford.
Neither team are kind of blessed with goals. So I can just see a nil all.
I don't know, is Ismael Assar.
He does look good, doesn't he?
He looks like a player. Good. Like, I don't know how unless Watford have a little bit of resurgence in the summer, unless they stay in the Premier League and have a little bit of resurgence in the summer, I don't see him hanging around there much longer. He's certainly not going to be playing in the Championship.
No.
He's a quality player. And he made some Liverpool defenders look fairly ordinary.
Yeah, he did.
You know? So I'm going to go with Watford scraping a 1-0 on this.
I'll go nil all.
Great. Lovely. Burnley Spurs.
Oh, Jesus.
Burnley versus what appears to be the worst team in the Premier League at the moment. Can't buy a win. Players climbing into stands, beating up fans and all sorts of carry on going on there.
Spurs are properly melting down, yeah. I don't know. Mourinho seems to have turned them all mad since he arrived. I don't know. Things are just not going well at all. Lost their last two in the Premier League after going on a bit of a run.
Mm.
Again, you wouldn't want to rule them out because they're only 5 points behind Chelsea with 10 games to go. But at the same time, when you look at the patchiness of their form, how they can be so abject bad.
When you see what Wolves did to them at the weekend.
Yeah. Do you know?
At their own ground.
I just...
You're right. They are completely melting down from the inside in, from the inside out. And it started at the start of the season with all the rumours and the Pochettino stuff. But you can see when players are doing... I know there was an issue with his brother and all this sort of stuff, but when you have professional players climbing into the stands to have a go at fans, and there's no one at the club stopping that or keeping a lid on that, you know, there's serious issues there. There's problems.
A lot of people are losing the rag at the minute. And I suppose that doesn't always translate to the next game on the pitch, but... Burnley are safe. They've done a great job, to be fair. Deutsch, again, he probably doesn't get the credit he deserves. They're ninth in the Premier League. They're no world beaters, and at times they looked very bad, couldn't buy goals.
I think Burnley are going to win this easily.
That's a bold call, because...
I think it's at Turf Moor. Spurs have no confidence, and they've no backbone, and Burnley are going to kick lumps out of them, and the Burnley crowd are going to get on their backs. And Eric Dyer may as well stay in London because he won't be able to handle what happens on the pitch. And I think Burnley I just don't think Spurs are up to it. I think Spurs have given up.
You mightn't be right, or you mightn't be wrong. Sorry, you could be right there. I'm not sure. I just don't know. This one I find a very hard one to gauge for the point that Spurs are up and down like a whore's knickers. Like they've won three in a row and then last two in a row and have a meltdown. It's just, it's so unusual.
I was listening to another podcast during the weekend. They said that, Spurs fans were asking for, before Mourinho came in, asking for Mourinho to give them back to their identity. And here they are, crumbling under pressure and being unpredictable. And that is really the Spurs' identity.
Careful what you wish for, Jesus, yeah. This one is hard to call. I kind of fancying a draw. I don't want to be calling every game as a draw, but I actually fancy a draw here. I think Burnley will make it hard for Spurs. Spurs will probably dominate possession. Burnley will have a couple of chances, might not convert them. I just fancy a draw here. I don't see much between them, and I do agree with you. Burnley might try and bully Spurs a bit here, and it might work.
Well, I mean, that's Burnley's approach to every game. They bully whoever they try and bully whoever they play against. They use a lot like Crystal Palace and Watford and teams like that. They try and use their physicality to make up for their lack of, I suppose, not class, but their lack of skill. And they're probably one of the best sides at it. I don't think Spurs are going to handle it, and I think Burnley are going to win it. I don't think it's going to be a goal fest, but I think Burnley will win it.
I can see where you're coming from. I just
think I'm wrong.
No, it's not. I do see Spurs struggling to break Burnley down. They do look clueless enough at times up front. I do see Burnley struggling to score, so it's the only logical explanation. It's a draw.
Right, okay. Well, let's have a look at Chelsea versus Everton. Chelsea are another one of these sides that you just never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
I mean, they were excellent against Liverpool. I know a lot of people are saying Liverpool were bad, but you have to hand it to Chelsea. They were excellent. They played really well. They had a game plan from the first minute, and they executed it to the 90th minute or 94th minute or whatever it was. And if we had seen that Chelsea all season, they would have been very comfortably somewhere in around those top four and not worried about what's coming behind them.
Yeah.
But the fact is, you just don't know if you're going to get that Chelsea week to week.
This is a big game now for Chelsea. This is one that they can just keep everyone at arm's length and just kind of get a bit more stability into things again. Just relax, everyone. It's at home. Now, Everton have improved their form markedly. You have to say that they have, but at the same time,
if they lose this game and United beat City, that's a big if. But if they do, then United go into fourth spot on goal difference.
Yeah, it's this is huge. I think for Chelsea, think this is a big game because, as I said, Everton form has turned in the right direction, and if Chelsea lose this, they're under the cosh for the last 10 games, big time. Now, they're going to be under it slightly anyway, but this is just another chance to kick that can down the road. Yeah. Maybe United don't get a result, we do, and then it opens up the gap again. It's just a huge game. This is one game that I think they can't afford to win, or they can't afford to lose.
There's no doubt about it. City will be the favourites in the Manchester derby, just because of who they are.
Yeah.
So if you take that for what it is and United lose, that leaves United on 42 points. Chelsea beat Everton and they've opened up a 6-point gap, and that's huge.
That's when 9 games to play. Yeah, exactly. You know, so this is really a crucial game, and I do think that Chelsea will be able to feed off the momentum that they had of beating Liverpool, and I think they'll beat Everton this week.
Well, Lampard's already beaten one of his former managers this season, and he'll be looking to do the same with Ancelotti. I do think Everton have enjoyed somewhat of a resurgence.
They're safe now after being really under the pump for a while.
Yeah, but safe.
But still, that is a resurgence from where they were.
With the squad they have, they shouldn't be talking about safe.
They should be
talking about which European position they're in.
Yeah.
So,
fact, I agree with you, but...
But there has been a little bit of a resurgence. He has kind of got them back playing a little better and winning a few games. But I just think, especially at Stamford Bridge, that Chelsea will probably be better than them and just take it.
Yeah, I agree. I think they'll just marginally sneak it, all right. But I think they'll know they've had a game.
I've noticed with Lampard, at the start of the season, we were talking about the great football that Chelsea were playing, and they were playing kind of open, expansive football. But at the same time, they were conceding a lot of goals, kind of in a Norwich vein, but not as bad as Norwich. But I've noticed in the last couple of months, Lampard has become a bit of a master tactician. And he's setting out his stall a lot better. And you've seen it against Liverpool this week. Like he has, rather than trying to have a philosophy about way he wants to play, he sets out his stall depending on what team he's playing.
Yeah.
And
he'd be very clever to target Nico Williams over and over with balls over the top. And
exactly.
It eventually paid dividends. But I agree with you.
You can definitely see him. Now, maybe I'm talking out of my ass here, but for me, watching the progress over the season, you can definitely see Lampard maturing as a manager.
for sure. Yeah. But he is learning, and that's the important thing. And we know all about the kind of strict legislation he's brought in on top of the Chelsea players, all the fines that they'd be subject to, like, yeah. I mean, turn up late for training, you're fined 10 grand, all this type of stuff. It's his way or the highway, and that's kind of to send a message to the players, I'm not fucking around here. And obviously results aren't always going to go his way, but in fairness, from what happened, from what he took over at the start of the season, he's done a very good job, and it has to be acknowledged.
Yeah.
And they just have been a bit topsy-turvy at times, but we have seen some brilliance from them. And as you said, he's become a bit more tactically adept, and it was brilliant from them in the FA Cup during the week. And I think they can carry it into this weekend, and I do think they'll nick it against Everton.
Yeah, yeah. Beat two Merseyside teams in the space of a week.
Mm.
We've only one more game to talk about.
We do.
And I think it's going to be a good one. Leicester City welcome Aston Villa. Now, obviously, we would have said Leicester City are going to win this, no problem, because they're in third place, have been in second for a long time. They're playing incredible football. Brendan Rodgers is a god, and Jamie Vardy's a goal machine. But then,
god, Brendan Rodgers is a god.
Obviously, I'm editorializing a little.
Get out of it more.
But then they went and lost 1-0 to Norwich at the weekend.
That was massively unexpected. Yeah, I don't know. I suppose they've lost their last two. I don't know. Maybe they've just taken their eye off the ball slightly. They haven't won a game in five now.
Yeah,
that's interesting. You just don't want to be dragging yourself into a battle for the top four when you kind of looked like you had it sewn up a month or two ago.
Yeah, I mean, there's 8 points between them and United. And when you haven't won a game in four,
you know, you just don't want that gap to be shrinking is all. You want a nice, comfortable, coasting, easy part of the winding down, just counting the time to the summer holidays.
I think they may have kind of just rested on their laurels. They were so comfortable in that second position for so long that they may have just kind of rested on their laurels, and now they need a bit of a kick up the arse.
Yeah, and I think, again, with Villa, I've said it numerous times, I do believe that they can play good football, but my God, they just concede too much. Their defence is too bad.
Yeah.
And I can see Leicester putting too many past them. I think they'll just outscore Villa.
I really hope, for the players' sake and for all of our sakes as a spectator, that Jack Grealish picks the right club in the summer. There's no doubt about it. He's going to be leaving Villa. He's way too good for that side. He runs that team, and when they're playing well, it's all comes through him.
Any chance he goes to City? Silvano could be hanging
up. This is the point I was going to make. I would hate to see him go to a club where he only becomes a bit part player. He needs to be, he's a quality player, and he needs to pick his club wisely, so he's a player that features week in, week out.
Yeah.
Because it would be a shame for us not to watch him play that well every week.
It'd be a shame for him not to play that well.
Now, maybe with the likes of Villa or David Villa leaving City, and probably Fernandinho leaving as well, there will be spaces there. And maybe I'm not giving him enough credit. Maybe he could go to City and play week in, week out.
Yeah.
But it's a gamble. It's a gamble for any player. It's a gamble for any of the best players in the world to go to a team like City or Barcelona or Real Madrid and expect to play week in, week out.
It is a gamble, especially when you're coming from a team like Villa. And even though he's looked brilliant,
yeah,
you don't know until you go and do it what he's capable of.
I mean, as Republic of Ireland fans, we remember the glory days of Damien Duff being one of the best players in Europe, and then he went to that incredible Chelsea side. He got a couple of injuries and he just couldn't get back into the team, and it really hampered his career. The same thing happened to Sean Roy Phillips. His move to Chelsea nearly ended his career in terms of his stardom. So I just would really like to see him go to somewhere where he can flourish.
Yeah, agreed.
And I know he's going to do that for the England squad as well, because he chose them over Republic of Ireland. But still, sure. I would like to see him do well.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a big side note from the game.
It is indeed. It was some rant.
Yeah.
But it'd be interesting to see where he goes. But look, I suppose that's for the summer, not for this weekend. It's actually a Monday night football fixture. Sorry, I didn't only realise that. So that'll be. I don't know. I just think now Villa are in the fight of their lives, but they've lost their last three, and it's just so hard to know what to do with them. They showed at times against City in the Carabao Cup that they're so capable, and they are capable. It's just they can't put it together for 95 minutes or so, and they just have too many mistakes, too many minutes switched off, too many defensive errors, and it just, in the end, I think it'll just catch them against Leicester.
Their defence is is pretty poor. Tyrone Mings, as good as he is on his day, he makes some awful mistakes, and maybe that's because he's covering for three other poor defenders. And I don't see them staying up. I don't see them winning many, many more games. And I think Leicester should win this handy enough.
Agreed.
Okay. And on that depressing note, if you're a Villa fan or happy note, if you're a Leicester fan, we're going to leave it there for this week. Thanks as always for listening. You can find us online, Twitter, Premier_podcast, Facebook, Premier League Preview Podcast, or on our website, plpreview.com. We will be back next week, hopefully a bit earlier in the week, with match week 30, and then we're into the last decade of games.
Jesus.
This is the Premier League Preview Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Premier_podcast. Find us on Facebook under Premier League Preview Podcast, or online at plpreview.com.